All right, turn to your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. As we continue our study in this chapter and being focused on a vision for accountability, as understanding that we're going to be before the Lord someday when the Lord comes back for the church, the rapture of the church, then the next event right after that immediately is going to the throne room to be judged for our service as Christians. And so we've been seeing for the last couple of weeks in this chapter aspects of dealing with that, for our standing fast, and even last week in dealing with a reconciliation in the body, getting things taken care of here and not being derailed by temporal things, but getting those things taken care of biblically, so we don't have to worry about it at the judgment seat of Christ. And today we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5. Two small verses, really easy to deal with. But before we actually get into this and see the points that we have and looking at motivation for moderation, I just want to have a little audience participation. When you think of 2020, what's a word that comes to mind, or what's a quick little phrase that kind of sums up 2020 for you thus far? Go.
Unbelievable.
Terrible. Chaos. What?
Wild.
Not moderation. And certainly not verse 4 that we're going to start out with. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." I mean, when we think about this year, I mean, people already, you know, we want to get out of this. We've got like almost just 3 months left of 2020. And I saw a meme on Facebook just the other day about 2021. It's like, before I agree to 2021, I want to see the terms in the agreement, you know, before I sign on for 2021. You know, because it's kind of hard to imagine that all of a sudden 2021 and all of a sudden, hey, everything is just nice after 2020. And who knows what's going to happen in the last 3 months, considering we do have a presidential election going on. So, yeah, it's been wild. It's been crazy. It's been terrible. It's been all the things that you guys have thrown out. But what does the Lord want us to do? There's no stipulations in what we're seeing here, and especially in verse 4, entry 4:4. That's the number of dealing with the world in the Bible as far as numerology, the earth or the world. And it goes on, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." We're going to spend some time with that verse as we get into it. But it's like the thing that didn't come to mind is like joy and rejoicing. Hey, what did you think about 2020? Praise God! Let them rejoice in it. That was not the first thing on our minds. But as believers in Christ, that's exactly what we need to do. And we'll talk about that in a minute. It doesn't mean that we rejoice at COVID-19. We don't rejoice at, you know, the amount of people that have died from it, or the people who just died this year, or whatever. All the different things that have taken place. It's not like, okay, I'm going to rejoice and praise God about that. But we're going to see exactly what this phrase, what this verse is all about. And then connect it to our moderation in verse 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And I think there's anything that we need to see today for sure is understanding moderation as we live in a world of extremes, and we see it every day in the news. It's like how come we can't get anything done sometimes in our country? We've got this view way over here, this view way over there, and there's nothing that is balanced and in the middle to be able to take care of the situation. Well, again, biblically we'll look at that in light of the Lord coming back. That's why I entitled this message, "Motivation by Moderation." All right? The motivation, understanding the Lord is coming back, the Lord is at hand. That's why we sung some of the songs that we are singing and will even after, because the Lord is coming back. So what does that mean for us? All right? Again, it's that accountability. We're going to be standing before Him, but it should motivate us to have a moderate life now in the midst of the craziness that is going on. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get started with the three things that we need to see today out of these two verses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for everyone here at the church and those who listen online, Lord. We thank you for the technology to be able to do that. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us, that you would edify us, Lord, that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord, strengthen us where we need to be strengthened, exhort us where we need to be exhorted. Lord, help us to leave here today after this message to be more in line with how you would want us to walk, to understand a moderate life, to be able to bring you glory and understanding that you are coming back. There is that accountability that we have for you. And in anything, just being able to rejoice in the things that you've done for us in our life, the things that you are doing for us, the things that you will do for us, even in the midst of this craziness that is 2020, and I'm sure it'll just go right into 2021, let us be a people that people can see, hey, why are they rejoicing? Why are they have joy in their life? It's because of you, Lord. Help us to understand that and to be able to live that. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so dipping back into Philippians 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And again, I will point out in a little bit here why that word always is not always. Those are two different meanings, you know, and it should be always, and we'll explain what that is here in a little bit. But we want to talk about this idea in verse 3 as far as praising the Lord and dealing with rejoicing. We know, we pointed out that in the book of Philippians, that's one of the major themes that's in the book of Philippians. We talked about being like-minded, that's a major theme that's in this book, but obviously joy and rejoicing is another major theme that we see. As a matter of fact, why don't we just do a little bit of review in Philippians first about seeing that word joy or rejoicing. If you go back to chapter 1, of Philippians, and just look down, first of all, in verse 18, it says this. And again, the context is Paul talking about those who are preaching. Some are preaching with the right heart attitude, and some are not. But here's what Paul says about that in verse 18. Philippians 1:18, it says, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Now remember, there are people preaching in pretense just to cause Paul more pain being in prison. But it doesn't matter, because it's not about him, it's about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and being preached, and in that he rejoices. Now again, what's the circumstance? Paul's in prison. That doesn't sound like a good thing, alright? That's not so, "Woo-hoo, I'm glad I'm in prison." But Paul doesn't focus on that, he's focusing on Christ being preached, so he rejoices in that. You look down in chapter 2. Verses 16 through 18, again, in dealing with Paul and dealing with the Philippians and his desire for them, again, at the judgment seat of Christ, he says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 16, and we're going to read through verse 18. It says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ," that's that judgment seat of Christ, "that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." In other words, Paul wants to make sure that the Philippians are holding forth, they're being the light, they're sharing the truth of the Word of God now on planet Earth, and them doing that is going to cause rejoicing for Paul at that day of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. He goes on to verse 17 and 18 and says this, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." What Paul is saying is, like, even if I die, even if I put to death because of the cause of Christ, my response is this: I'm going to joy and rejoice. It's not woe is me, not oh, give me some. I mean, it's like, if that is how I die, then praise God. Again, his response is to rejoice in something that honestly we would have viewed something as very tragic. Imagine if tomorrow, all of a sudden, you know, our country goes completely crazy and says the preaching of Christ is against the law, and if you preach the truth, if you preach the Bible or whatever, then you are going to jail and you're looking at certain death. What would our response be? Sit down and shut up? Or can preach and say, "Hey, praise God. If that's the way I go out, I go out preaching, doing what the Lord wants me to do." Joy and rejoicing. That's what Paul is dealing with in the face of death. You look down at the end of chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up in verse 28. This is dealing with Epaphroditus. We talked about him. Remember back when we were preaching on that and how this guy, he was nigh unto death for the cause of Christ. And he was very sick, but yet God brought him back to health. And Paul's happy about that and rejoicing. But notice what he says in that regard in verse 28. So Philippians 2, 28. It says, "I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." All right? And so, again, you see him rejoicing at Epaphroditus, and again, and being able to get well and continue to be able to be used in ministry. There's joy in rejoicing. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Starts out the chapter, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You look down in chapter 4 in verse 10. It says this, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." And we'll deal with that more as we get to that reference. But, I mean, Paul is rejoicing that the Philippians are able to help provide and take care of him. Because remember, when you're in prison in that time, you didn't get everything provided for you. If people didn't bring it to you, you didn't have it. All right? And so he was rejoicing about that. But you see, again, over and over again in the book of Philippians, the point of joy and rejoicing in spite of the difficult circumstances that are going on. Now again, Philippians 4:4, it says again, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. No matter what the circumstance, no matter the situation, we need to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to go back to the book of Exodus. This is the first time we see the word rejoice appear in Scripture. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 18. And this is when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to them after, again, God liberates Israel out of Egypt. And we're going to look down in just verse 9. It's the first time that the word rejoice is used in Scripture. Exodus chapter 18, down in verse 9. Notice what it says. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now remember, Pharaoh was going to kill him. Obviously, Israel was slaves in Egypt. And again, God got him out by strong hand through the leadership, obviously, of Moses and Aaron. And, it came to the Red Sea. It looked like certain death was going to happen for the nation of Israel. But God opens up the Red Sea, and Israel is saved. And Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh is put to death. I mean, God takes care of them. And so Jethro comes. He's rejoicing in everything that God has done in delivering Israel. Now, I look at something like this, and I think, well, how does that relate to us? If there is nothing else that you think that you can praise God for today, if you are saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then we should be able to rejoice in that fact all the time, no matter what's going on. That's why Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 again says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What are we rejoicing in? Rejoice in the Lord. We may not find some things in 2020 to necessarily rejoice in. There's some tough things that have been happening this year, but as a believer in Christ, we still should be able to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that we're saved. Rejoice that no matter what physically may happen to us, if we leave this planet, we're in heaven. We're with the Lord Jesus Christ. That in and of itself should give us enough to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to look over in 1 Thessalonians real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to read through verse 18. Actually, the verses that I have memorized, and they're good ones to have memorized. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to pick up at verse 16. 16 through 18. Simple little commands that we have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Easy one to remember. All right? Especially, you don't know what's going to happen later today. You don't know what's going to happen later this week. No matter what it is, verse 16 needs to be something that we have in our heart and our mind and be able to actually do, because it is a command. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, two words. It says this: rejoice evermore. Then he goes on and says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So no matter what the circumstance is, you should be able to be thankful in that circumstance. Right? We need to pray without ceasing. We need to continue to have an attitude of prayer, always talking to the Lord about no matter whatever goes on. But verse 16 starts out and says, rejoice evermore. But preacher, you don't understand. It's like, man, I got a lot of tough things that are happening. And you know, it's like, job is not sure. I don't know how I'm going to pay my next bill. What do I do? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice even more so. Alright? Don't go the other end, because that's our human nature. It's like we get down in the dumps and we just focus on the problem. I'm not saying that you have to take care of your issues and your problems and trust God in those things, but we can't have the attitude of not still rejoicing and praising God in the circumstance. Remember, if there's nothing else that you can think to thank God and rejoice and praise Him for, if you're a believer in Christ, thank God and rejoice that He saved you. Just like Israel being rescued from Egypt. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. The circumstance seems to get worse. What do I need to do to counter that? Rejoice evermore. More rejoicing. I got to rejoice more. I got to focus in on my relationship with the Lord and praise Him and trust that He's going to take care of the situation. I want to give you one more reference in dealing with rejoicing. And it ties into that same word always that I was talking about. Rejoice in the Lord always, not always with an S, always. And again, I say rejoice. We see the same thing in 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn there real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the context is dealing with ministry. And Paul is talking about the difficult things that you deal with in ministry. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare that we are in. And Satan is just not going to allow you and just let you just freely just preach and teach the Word of God and to be able to reach people for Christ. He's going to try to put obstacles in your way. That's why there's times where things don't go so well during a day or during a week, because he wants you to get your focus off of reaching people for Christ and being a good testimony and just focus in on whatever the problem is. And it's like we need to rejoice and praise God in it. And continue on, be focused on what the Lord will have us to do. But that's the context of dealing with ministry, and it says this down in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. In different ways of dealing with and being involved in ministry, he says this, as sorrowful. There's some things that bring sorrow. As you are ministering the truth of the Word of God, as your walk with the Lord, whether you're dealing with family, whether you're dealing with friends, whether you're dealing with co-workers, whatever the case may be, there's some things that are going to be sorrowful that we're going to have to deal with. But the next thing he says in verse 10, yet, here's our word, always rejoicing. He goes on and says, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. But it says again, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That word always is like a contraction of this phrase, all the way. In other words, rejoice in the Lord all the way. Not half-heartedly, not just giving a little bit of an effort, but when we rejoice in the Lord all the way, we're rejoicing all the way. If you're going to replenish my water bottle, you're going to give me some water, and I want it filled up, I want it filled up all the way. I don't want it just halfway, I want it all the way. So I have all the water I need to be able to drink. I want all the way. That's the idea. It's the amount. Not how much time, like always. I mean, that's really, in a sense, a given. All right? We should be praising God all the time, that sort of thing. But how much are we putting our heart into it? Rejoice in the Lord always, all the way. And again, I say rejoice. Right? No matter whatever. Beth, you think of it right now. What is a tough situation that you're dealing with right now? What is something that is kind of causing maybe some angst? Instead of just focusing on it, I'm not saying that you don't deal with the issues and the problems at hand. We talked about that last week when we talked about reconciliation or whatever the situation may be or circumstance that it may be. We got to deal with it. Instead, we don't sit on our butt and do nothing, you know. We got to do what we're supposed to do according to the Word of God. But our attitude needs to be what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Give it our all. And again, in case we didn't get it the first time, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Even if it's a sorrowful situation, how do we handle that? Rejoice. Praise God. And I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. Especially when you're looking at the physical circumstance that's right there in front of our face that we've got to deal with. And trusting in God whom we cannot see. But yet the Scripture says, you know what you need to do? You need to rejoice all the way. Wholeheartedly praise Him. That's how we need to respond. And it doesn't make any sense in the world. I've shared this before. This comes to mind, you know, when Trish and I were living in Canada. I mean, Andrew was 2 years old, and we wanted trying to have another child. And Trish, you know, had another miscarriage. We had 7 total, 2 before Andrew, 5 after that, and the last one was when we were in Canada. And it was a tough one. I mean, she had to go to the emergency room, and the doctor that we had was not the best at all, and especially with bedside manner. But I remember when he came out of her room, I mean, he literally, and somebody I've told the story before, he didn't even stop to tell me. Yeah, I mean, I knew what the deal was. I knew that we were losing the baby. But he just, in passing, oh yeah, by the way, you lost the baby, and kept on walking. What was my hard attitude? There was obviously sorrow, but yet I can honestly say there was rejoicing, not in the fact of the circumstance, but rejoicing that the Lord has got this. I had peace in my heart. The Lord had already prepared me, and just the time I spent in the Word of God, and I could rejoice and praise in a sense that God knows what's going on and He's going to take care of the situation. Sorrowful situation, tough situation, but yet there's still joy and rejoicing. I need to rejoice in the Lord because I have a God that cares for us and that He will take care of the circumstance. It will be all right. And that's the thing that we got to remember. It's like no matter how bad this year's been, and who knows, again, the next 3 months and what it's going to all entail and what we're going to have to deal with, and who knows? I mean, God knows. But it will be all right as believers in Christ. And what's our response? Again, rejoice in the Lord always. Not rejoice a little bit. Not give Him half-hearted rejoicing. But rejoice in the Lord always, and again, rejoice. You go back to Philippians chapter 4. Again, verse 3, we see the point of praising the Lord and how important it is. A lot of times, just the fact of focusing on the Lord and rejoicing will help you through whatever the circumstance is instead of just dwelling on the negative circumstance. That's just going to bring it down, going to bring it down, going to bring it down. Yeah, again, you got to deal with it, but trust and understand that the Lord's going to be there to help you through it, and in that, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4 goes on and says, verse 5 it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. So the first part of verse 5, we look at our second point of being balanced in the Lord. We're talking about this idea of moderation. It's mild, all right? It's what's appropriate, all right? There's a balance to it. Now, you guys that know me, you know I do not like spicy food. I just don't like eating something that causes me to break out in a sweat and having snot flinging into my food. I just don't like that. You like that thing? Okay, praise God. Rejoice in that. But for me, there are two things with my food. I don't like to work for it. That's why I don't crab legs. I'm sorry. If I'm sitting down to eat, that means I'm hungry. And I want to eat now. I don't want to have to crack something open and dig some little meat out and all this other stuff. That's just me. I'm sorry. All right? And I don't like spicy food to where I'm burning up. You know, just it's like, people, oh, it's good, it's good. I'm like, your face is turning red. You know there's going to be issues later with this when you go to the bathroom. I don't get it. But hey, to each their own, praise God. Rejoice in that. But that's just me, all right? Balance. So when it comes to hot sauce, I mean, or some picante sauce or something like that, if I'm having a taco salad or whatever, I'm going to be honest with you. I can handle mild. Is that what I want? Yeah, and I don't even like, or is it the medium that I get? I got to remember. Which one is like hardly any spice at all? My wife knows. It's just the mild. Yeah, it's the medium that's kind of, I don't even like that. I got to have the mild. A medium I can deal with, but definitely not hot, all right? My son is like, I don't know. He will have devil spit or something like that on his food. I don't know. But it's just not me. But I want middle of the road. All right? That sort of thing. And when you think about this, spiritually speaking, how important it is to be moderate, to be in balance. It's so easy for us to get off balance. And you think about it. I made reference to it in just at the beginning of this in praying. It's like we live in a world today. It's like, either things seems like they're far right or they're far left, and there's nothing in between. And it's like, when we think about something, it's like, even in policing, when we think about there's some argument or some situation, you got one side over here, you got one side over here, and the truth is going to be somewhere in between. All right? That's the way it is. Balance. All right? And this doesn't mean that you don't, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of Bible and truth, and then I'm going to have a little bit of living like the world, and that's what's being talked about. We're not talking about that, all right? We're never talking about doing something against God's Word or His command. But it's the idea of dealing with balance and what you can do. And we can get out of balance even in things that are good, all right? I want you to go back to Proverbs for this. Got a couple of references. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 11. I think most of you are probably familiar with this. Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, this is something that I have struggled with in my life because of just not being able to say no. I mean, especially when I was newly saved, and especially the church that I got a lot of my training at and sent out as a missionary. I mean, There were times where, I mean, man, we're at church almost literally every day of the week. Maybe the exception of one day. I mean, because there's so much going on. And we wanted to be a part of everything. It felt like we didn't want to miss anything out. And it's like, it was every day there was something going on. I mean, there was obviously Sunday. We'd have Sunday service. It would be, or Sunday school. It would be the Sunday service. And then it would be Sunday evening service we had at that time. Monday was Monday night Bible study. Tuesday was sports league, something going on doing that. I mean, there was always seems like there was something going on. And Saturday was our pastor's training. I mean, it was just, we were there, like I said, almost 7 days a week. And doing what's right, doing a good thing. But if other things are suffering that we're all supposed to be biblically doing, then there's a problem. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says this: a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. An abomination is something that God hates. Being out of balance is not a good thing. All right? Even if you're doing that which is good. There's a proverb that talks about, you know, eating too much honey is not good. Now, honey is a picture of the Word of God. All right? And it's like, it's not like, oh, are you actually preaching and saying don't get a lot of the Word of God? Well, here's an example I'm talking about. If you're spending a lot of time in the Word of God, and I mean, that's a good thing, but yet, let's say your marriage and your family is suffering, that's a false balance. But I'm studying, yeah, but your wife and your kids have needs. They need you. You're there to lead them and to help them and to build. And if all you're doing is just studying the Word of God for yourself and you're neglecting your family, that's a false balance. All right? You look over, just give you another reference before we continue on with this. Still in Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter 20, down to verse 23. Happened to be the chapter of my personal devotion this morning. Proverbs chapter 20. I want you to look down in verse 23. There's actually a couple of references. Verse 10, it'll also apply, but I just wanted you to go down to verse 23. So Proverbs 20 and 23 says this: diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. It's not good to be out of balance. And a lot of times, it's like people are out of balance, but in the sense of, as believers, I'm talking about believers, not lost people, but you know, they're doing everything they need to do, job-wise, and you know, and around the house, and so forth and so on. But their time in the Word of God and time with prayer with the Lord is not that much. Well, that's a false balance. Yes, you need to do your job at work. You need to do things around the house and so forth and so on. But how much time are you giving to God? Go to the flip side of it. My first example is like, you know, in the Word of God, so forth and so on, but at the detriment of your family is not good. All right, well, now I'm doing the other side of it. Well, if you're doing all these things and taking care of your family and doing all the temporal, physical things that you need to be doing, living on planet Earth, but you're not having your time with the Lord, it's a false balance. It's a false balance. And so as our motivation, which we're going to get into for the Lord coming back and understanding our accountability, again, a vision of accountability, chapter 4 of Philippians, we need to make sure that we're moderate in the things that we're doing. You see that even with Jesus Christ. I mean, how many times did Jesus Christ, I mean, and John describes him as he was full of grace and truth. Grace is a gift. Grace is really getting something that you don't deserve. None of us deserve heaven. We deserve hell. That's where we're destined to go if we don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross and everything they did, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that's why we're saved by grace. We know it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift. We all know the example. We all know. What did our parents tell you? You know, Christmas time. You're a kid. You know, kind of, if you're not going to be good, then you're not going to get a gift. All right? Santa's not going to bring you something. All right? And, you know, we give gifts anyway. I know me. I know what kind of terror I was. Some people might say still am. I got a gift. My parents gave me gifts. There were times I got upset on Christmas because of whatever. Maybe the toy wasn't working right. And I was frustrated. I'm throwing an absolute temper tantrum. My parents didn't take the toy away, even though they probably should have. It's called grace. Didn't deserve a gift. None of us did. We don't deserve it. But God deals with us by grace. But that doesn't mean he doesn't deal with us by truth. He's full of grace and full of truth. There's that balance that comes in.
All right? Mercy is the flip side of grace. Mercy is not getting the judgment that we deserve.
Times of policing. There's times where, again, I use that as a teaching moment. This week, matter of fact, instead of writing somebody up for something, let's learn something. I understood that he was really kind of new in his position, didn't handle something right, made him handle it again, and then I made it a teaching moment instead of just writing him up and him getting in trouble about it. All right? That's the mercy side. All right? And God deals with us with mercy. His mercies are new every day. There ain't one of us here will not get through life on a daily basis without God's mercy. I'm telling you, we will all do something wrong, think something wrong, whatever the case is, not do something according to work, whatever. All right? And it's like God gives us mercy, but yet He still deals with us according to the truth of the Word of God. That's that balance that comes in. And the things in our life, we need to remember that. There's that moderation. We can think about how being in the extremes have been so detrimental to a number of people. I'm talking within the church. We've all, I'm sure, have experienced or know somebody that's been to churches that are very legalistic. The things that are pushing are not the Word of God, but man's judgment, man's tradition, man's thoughts. You know, like you got to do this, this is that, or you can't do that, don't do that, blah, 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 over and over and over again. I've seen so many lives, Christian lives, that are just wrecked because of being in the extreme of legalism, of rules, of do's and don'ts, instead of what does the Word of God say? All right, and then we can go to the opposite end of that, where this church is. I kind of have to have the Bible because I'm a church and I'm supposed to have the Bible, but I really don't believe it and I really don't want to teach it. I've literally been in a Bible study that the person that was leading the Bible study said exactly that. And how many churches that are out there that, again, there's not the importance of the Word of God at all. It's just a matter of just love God, try to be nice and help your neighbor and so forth and so on. But they're not dealing with people according to truth. It's the other extreme. And it's like, again, what do we need to do? Is everything that we do is based off the truth of the Word of God, but yet, again, understanding moderation. Understanding is a lot of times, again, people are just like, don't want to have anything to do with the church because of the extremes, instead of just being, this is what the Word of God says. This is what we're trying to do. This is all of us doing it together. I don't have it down. I'm working on having it down. That sort of thing. We're talking about this moderation. Everything is what's appropriate, what's right, what's the right thing to do. All right? That's what we're dealing with. All right? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. He's getting ready to come back. All right, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I can't help it. It's not former President Bill Clinton and asking, what is? All right, when he was going through a deposition there on a situation that I won't talk about from the pulpit. We all know what is. It's happening and happening soon. The Lord is at hand. That verse is true. Every time you read it, going way back to when God used Paul to write it, to right now, the Lord is at hand. He's coming back, and there is nothing that anybody can do to stop it. It's like the idea of, this is a silly example, but I have a person at work that wanted me to work this into a method, so I'm actually going to do it because it actually fits right here. All right? The idea that anything or anybody could stop the Lord coming back, it's like you're driving down the highway at 75 miles an hour and a bug hits your windshield. Is that bug going to stop your car going 75 miles an hour? No. It's going to get speared. Matter of fact, there's a joke that goes along with this. A bug hit my windshield the other day, but I bet she doesn't have the guts to do it again. All right. So I did my... both these employees work in surveillance, and I got his joke and her example. I did it in this method. So I'm done. I got it out of the way. But there's nothing that can stop the Lord coming back. He is coming back, and He's coming back at any time. And how will He find us? Will He find us rejoicing? Will He find us in moderation, doing what is right, what is appropriate? I just want to give you a couple of references here in dealing with this, the Lord being at hand. I want you to go back to the Old Testament, and first in the book of Isaiah. If you look at Isaiah chapter 13, down in verse 6. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. I mean, there's a ton of verses in the Bible that deal with the Lord coming back. Way more than His first coming. And it is obviously documented fact, not just by the Word of God, but by history and everything itself, that there Jesus came the first time. And there's so much more in the Bible about His second coming. And in Isaiah 13 and verse 6 it says this, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." It's not going to be pleasant. Now, again, for us, He takes the church out before all of the wrath and destruction that's going to be taking place in the coming tribulation period. But obviously, we don't know how bad it's going to be even before the rapture is going to take place. I mean, look at 2020. None of us had all this in mind before this year, when this year started. All right? Who knows how bad it's going to be? But again, the Lord, He is at hand. I'm going to test you a little bit and go to the minor prophets. After Isaiah, you have Jeremiah and Lamentations. You have the book of Ezekiel, then Daniel, and then the minor prophet book of Hosea. And then I want you to go to Joel. All right, so I'm going to look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll give you a little bit to get there. Again, continue to travel to the right. You see the book of Daniel, you're close. And then we'll have the book of Hosea. And then it has 14 chapters in that. Then the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, I'm just giving a couple of references here. There's literally a ton of references in dealing with the imminent turn of the Lord. In Joel chapter 2 verse 1 it says this, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." That word nigh is near. It's at hand. He's coming back. I want to give you one more reference, and that's going to be from our doctrine. I want you to go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Because I know it's like people are like, well, yeah, they've been saying this for years. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. You know, and it's almost used as a proverb in a sense of like you really don't believe it's going to happen. I'll believe that when the Lord comes back, or that'll happen when the Lord comes back. The idea behind that is like, yeah, I really don't believe the Lord's coming back. But that's never going to happen. It's like, yes, it is. It's at hand. And if there's anything I think this year should show believers in Christ that have any knowledge about the Word of God and what it says, it's like, it is at hand. I want you to look at this. Romans chapter 13, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. Paul says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In other words, living a life of moderation. What's appropriate? What's the right thing to do? Understanding the Lord is coming back soon. It is nigh at hand. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. For me, I got saved in 1988. That's 32 years ago in a few months. All right, so it's obviously nearer. The coming of the Lord is nearer than when we started this message. We're that much closer. Every second that ticks off the clock. Now, again, we don't know exactly the day or the hour, nor will we ever know exactly the day or the hour. But in everything that is going on that we understand from the Word of God and what we see around us, it's at hand. And that should motivate us to live a life of moderation. That we do what's right, that we do what's balanced, we do what is appropriate according to the truth of the Word of God. And it should be cause for us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He is coming back. And no matter how bad 2020 has been, and maybe even gets worse, who knows? No guarantees for 2021 just because of the change of the calendar. One thing that we can rejoice in, that this is not even close to what the Bible talks about, what will be the coming tribulation. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when all of a sudden people around the world just disappear. I don't know how many believers that will be living during that time, whenever it's going to be, but people just all of a sudden disappearing all around the world. A world event like that. Lost people not going to know what's going on. Imagine people are not there at their jobs. Imagine, think, you're driving somewhere to work. Rapture happens. That means your car is not just going to necessarily stop. Imagine maybe the accidents are going to happen. I mean, just you can't even imagine. And nobody having any clue. And then Satan, of course, is going to be having all kinds of deception that people are going to be... I mean, the Bible talks about the tribulation period being the worst period that this earth will ever see. Ever. No matter what has happened in the past, nothing compares to how bad the tribulation is going to be. That's the Word of God says. No other time before has been like this, nor ever will be. It'll be the worst that this planet Earth will ever see. 7 years, 3.5 years of false peace, 3.5 years of actually literally hell on earth. So we think 2020 has been bad. It is nothing compared to what's going to happen. But as believers in Christ, if anything, guess what? It's very clear from the Word of God. The Lord's coming back to take the church out before that. And it sounds like a crazy idea. Most people think that's absolutely crazy idea, but that's what the Word of God says. And we can rejoice that being believers in Christ, that we're not going to go through that time. Yeah, we're going to go through some tough times, whatever, but the Lord is going to help us through those times. We can rejoice in the Lord through those times, and we can rejoice that we're not going to be going through that. So what should motivate us to live a moderate life, a life that hopefully that we can attract others to Christ so that they don't have to go through that time, that they can have a relationship with the Lord, that they too can rejoice and have a Lord that's going to help them, that they can trust in through the trials of life and whatever sorrows that may come through and everything like that. We need to make sure that we're the example of it. And that's why these two simple verses are so important for us to apply in our life. That no matter what happens this week, let's rejoice all the way. Always rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Let's be moderate with doing what's right, what's balanced, what's appropriate, according to the truth of the Word, in every aspect of our life. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do, things that you've shown us. Two simple verses, but are so practical for us on a daily basis, Lord. And I pray that there be something in this for each and every one of us that we can focus on to learn to grow in, that we can praise you like we need to, that we can understand and have a life that is balanced according to the truth of your Word. Again, understanding that you are coming back and coming back soon. That should motivate us on a daily basis to live a moderate life, to do that which is right, to do that which is appropriate. Lord, to deal with always crucifying the flesh and not letting our flesh rule us, but that, again, like we talked about in the last couple of weeks and just seeing Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that he keeps his body under subject, that and when he preaches, that he's not a castaway than himself. Lord, I take that to heart. I mean, that we, all of us, that we need to make sure that our life reflects the truth of the Word of God, understanding that we're going to be given an account of our service before you in someday soon. So Lord, I pray that this message will reach to all of our hearts, that it, again, that we meditate upon it, that we apply it every day in our life. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.